okay? Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Power. I give it to him.
The glory.
I give it to him.
Forever.
I give it to him.
In ever.
I give it to him.
The power.
I give it to him.
The glory.
I give it to him.
Forever.
I give it to him.
In ever.
I give it to him.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is The Bold and the Beautiful. We are here right now. We are getting ready to start our broadcast, and I'm Curtis Austin, and we are now on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We air every second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. Won't you just tune in? Welcome to When Christians Talk Radio, Bold and the Beautiful.
If it wasn't for God, I'd be weak. Ay. I wouldn't wake up from my sleep. Ay. I wouldn't have nothing to eat. Ay. I wouldn't be so unique. Ay. If it wasn't for God, I would lose it. Yep. I wouldn't live under a roof, and yep. I wouldn't be up in this booth, and yep. I wouldn't know He is the truth. And if it wasn't for God, I would have been bold. The enemy would have taken my soul. But now I rise up and I surprise them like the day that He rose. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be up in these foreign cars on the way to my shows. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have nada. I wouldn't be cold. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have clothes. No shoes to cover my toes. No hat to cover my head. If it wasn't for God, I would have been. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be counted out. My family down and out. I'm blessed, so without a doubt. Hey. Gotta make sure I shout it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bold and Beautiful is a talk show designed to bring the Word of God to youth and young adults around the world and embolden them to live out loud for Jesus. Our vision is to see young people of the world rising up to take their rightful place as leaders and world changers.
I'm a young girl spitting that gospel. Last time I saw the God, He said, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And they try to act like they never knew you. But the devil can't do nothing to you. Cause the
power.
I give it to Him. The glory.
I give it to Him.
Forever.
I give it to Him.
In ever.
I give it to Him.
The power.
I give it to Him.
The glory.
I give it to Him.
Forever.
I give it to Him.
In ever.
I give it to Him.
All right, here we are again with another When Christians Speak Talk Radio Bold and Beautiful podcast. We're here on this beautiful Monday morning. Of course, I have my wonderful co-host with me, Novena. Say hey, girl.
Hey, world.
And Curtis.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? We back in the house again.
Yes, we are. And of course, we have a wonderful co-host. You can see he's sitting next to Curtis, and I will let him introduce his better half. So, Curtis, if you will.
Yes, this is my lovely wife, who is very pregnant right now. And we are excited. Her name is Dr. Masika Jordan Austin. Yes, and she is a true gift to me. Definitely. Wow. This is my boo right here. Yeah, you know. So she has been on the show before. She's an entrepreneur. She's a professor. She's a elder. She's so many different things. She's a counselor. She's also a friend. She's all these things, but I just can't wait till you hear a little bit more about her and also where we have been in our walk and our journey together in marriage, love, and life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Welcome.
So, Miss Masika, Dr. Masika is not new to the show. She has been on before, but we are happy to come back around and see what's happening new in life. As you just heard, we are expecting a new baby, which we are all very excited about. God's promises are real.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about, I know I am personally excited about you as a couple. Of course, I know Masika, your husband has shared with you his desire, and you know the fulfillment of you in his life has just been wonderful to see, and wonderful to see you all come together as a couple. And I'm just so excited for you guys, and that he has found his good thing. He has found his wife, so it is a beautiful thing. So, like, what has it been, right? So I'm gonna start with you, Curtis. I'm gonna ask you, right? So even when you think about God promising you and knowing that you were going to be someone's husband and you were going to be a father, and even like the process of being delayed in that process or thinking you had found it when you hadn't, like, what has that been like for you and up until now?
Yeah, it so it definitely has been a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because, you know, of course you're seeking something, but you're looking and you're looking and you're looking, and I'm not saying that each person I met, you know, didn't have a purpose also along that journey. But at the same time too, God has a way of directing you in the right direction when you let him lead you.
Yes.
Because I know, you know, the Bible says that the Lord gives us the desires of our hearts. But at the same time too, sometimes we pursue our own desire without counsel and also insight from the Spirit of God. So, and that can hurt on both sides. You know what I'm saying? The person, the people that I might have talked to before might have been hurt, and I might have been hurt on the other side. So what I've learned through this process is that you really don't have to seek after something when God has already promised it. All you have to do is just be patient in the process, which is sometimes hard. Mm-hmm. But yet at the end of the day, God will answer exactly what he said he would do. And he'll give you the instructions when it's time for you to move, when it's time for you to say hello, when it's time for you to call somebody, when it's time for you not to do something. Mm-hmm. He will give you the instructions. If you just listen, you will honestly find yourself with the results you hope for, not the results you wish you never had.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have anything, Novena, before I asked
him? No, I'm listening to
So Masika, so how has the journey been for you both, even prior to meeting your better half right now, and knowing that there was still more that God had in store for you, and what that process felt like for you on, you know, from the female perspective?
You know, for me, Curtis and I have so much in common, history-wise, the experiences that we had. And I know Curtis don't mind me sharing because he's probably shared before, but growing up, Curtis was abused and so was I. So you have two people who have experienced abuse. I had sibling abuse, and it was role abuse, like a textbook role abuse, up until my 20s. And so I had this paradigm of what a relationship should look like with a male. And that paradigm was broken. So even if, yeah, it's one of my favorite scriptures is a scripture that Curtis just mentioned, seek ye first the kingdom of God and he'll give you desires of your heart. And sometimes we think that means that God's going to give us what we want. But if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, he hasn't done that circumcision to your heart. And for me, a circumcision hadn't taken place yet. Yeah. So I ended up marrying the very thing that I grew up with.
Familiar.
Because it was you hit that right in my head. It was familiar. And it was comfortable because it was familiar. Like when you're comfortable with living with snakes, that's what you're used to, right? So yeah. You introduce a rabbit, that's weird, right?
Come on, that's real talk.
Yeah, and so I was recycling and even in the church. So I left the world, quote unquote, and then went into this relationship, this marriage. And sometimes people get married and they think to death do us part. It should be like that when God picks your spouse.
Right.
But if it's something that I picked, it's something I put together, then it's not what God put together. And it was something that I had to, literally, I had a crossroad where I was trying to keep something together that I wasn't even, I never even loved the person. But I was trying to keep it together because I had two kids and I was like, I don't want them to have a third pattern. Like my mom was divorced. She's remarried, great relationship with her new husband.
Wonderful.
My grandparents, my grandmother was divorced, and this would be a third generation. So I'm looking at it like a generational curse. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to my apostle, and I was like, well, if I file for divorce, is this a generation, like, am I just repeating the generational curse? He said, Masika, that's not a generational curse. He said, that's a history and a pattern of women in your family picking the wrong guys and picking bad relationships. And when I looked at the coverings that they had as parents, even though they intended well, they delivered what they delivered. And so anyways, make a long story short, I ended up having to sit still. So when I met Curtis, I didn't meet Curtis as a spouse. He was a friend.
Right.
I truly did not look at him like a spouse, because when I filed for, after I got divorced, I decided to sit out a year I submitted to the authority that was in my life at the time, my apostle, and he said, you don't need to date anybody for a year. I was like, okay, I won't talk to anybody, date anybody. Well, me and God will just sit with me and God. And in that year time frame, and I would say a year of investment into me, God circumcised my heart. And so this, I finally realized, oh, that's abuse. That's what that looks like. That's what that looks like. This is what this is. This is what, so then when the real thing shows up, then I could identify, well, that's the thing that I need to be with. Like, this is the piece. That's the pattern. This is the new pattern. And that's what it was, a process for me. So meeting Curtis, when we met, he was just my friend. We used to talk to each other about like
relationships.
Yeah, after that year, yeah. I'd be giving him relationship advice. I don't know why. But
one day we was talking and all, you know, because I was pump faking on Star, my trucking company, for real. And she called me and she was like, you know, the Lord shared with me that that after you start your business, then you can go get your wife. And she wasn't talking about her at the time, herself at the time, you know what I'm saying? And it's amazing though how God be setting you up, right? Because for real, that was my sister. It's still my sister, but I look at her like that now, but that was my sister, that was my friend, you know what I'm saying? Like, we'd go hang out and we'd be talking. I was like, yeah, she did this. I'd be like, hey, same way I'd be with y'all. You know what I'm saying? You know, same way I'd be with y'all. So,
yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like how God will set things up when you don't even realize he's setting it up, because the whole time that God, she had went through her year and now God allowed her to open certain doors at certain times. But she would see things and she'd be like, well, I don't know about that's necessarily the thing that God wants for me, you know? Yes, and then we'd be talking about that. And then she was like, then so basically God told her again to shut some doors again, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
And she obeyed. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm surprised she ain't say what she'd be saying sometimes. Tell your own testimony. But anyway. what ended up happening was that she'd be bored in the house and she'd be like, look, I'm bored, I don't have nothing, I want to hang out a little bit with someone. He'd be like, call Curtis, you and Curtis can hang out. And unbeknownst to us, God was like, mm-hmm, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's how it is. And when it came about, I guess I was like the preacher off Coming to America. There's a car in this house.
That is wonderful. And just listening to your story, it just reminds me so much of mine, because a lot of things that you said, Dr. Masika, I could relate to 100%. And I was married before, and generations before me had been married and divorced. And my parents had a great relationship. And, I didn't realize until after my father had passed that he had instilled a lot of wonderful values in me. And he didn't like my first husband. And I was, you know, I didn't pay it much attention. But after that dissolved, I was done. I was so done. I was like, Lord, if you get me out of this one, you don't have to worry about me getting married again. I'm good. Yeah. I'm so serious. We are good. And I had a friend at church. At first, I didn't like him until my ex-husband had come to the church and I ran for cover. And he was there to help, you know? And then we just became friends, and literally friends. And because I felt safe with him and comfortable, and I didn't worry about him trying to come on to me. We always did things together with our children, and we were in children's ministry together. We were in the music ministry together, and he was just comfortable. And, you know, we would talk about different relationships and things like that, but I was good. I didn't need another relationship, another marriage. And I don't know what happened, because he became my bestest friend, you know? And when I look back, he's passed now. We lived through a lot of, we grew together through a lot of good and a lot of not so good, but he really taught me about true love. And he was my brother. He was my friend. He was my bud. That's why he's called my bud. He used to get offended. I didn't know why he was offended about that. You know, that's my bud. That's not, we ain't talking, that's my bud. One day he said, yeah, I'm your bud. And I was like, what was all that about? The next thing you know, we start hanging out and doing stuff. But anyway, that was years ago, almost 20 years ago.
Wow. No, I'll say this though, Novena, before we go on though. I never had the privilege of meeting Chuck, but I think I know Chuck because as long as I've been around you, his legacy has still lived on. Like he is still living through you. And I felt like I've met that big gentle giant. I really felt like I have met him and I have met the spirit of Chuck, you know, definitely. Truly, I love when you share those stories.
He was a good guy. And it just reminds me, there are still good men out here. There's still Correct. Good women. And when we see you guys, you're the hope. You know, everything may not be perfect, but you're friends and brothers and sisters in Christ and lovers in Christ together. And you're building not just businesses together, but your family and your legacies together. And that's a wonderful, inspiring thing. So thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So how has it been being newlyweds? Like COVID happened. And so I was like, okay, we're going to really be together.
Really?
But the truth of that, I'm glad that we were friends beforehand, because this is a true statement. I'm just going to say for me personally beforehand, any relationship, right? I think I would say that I would try to build friendships and stuff first, so they were my friends or whatever, right? But you never really know how much you know a person until you get placed in a situation where y'all can't go nowhere for real.
Right.
Yeah. Literally nowhere.
Mm-hmm. A 20-foot snowstorm that never melted. You know what I'm saying? So you couldn't go to the, is that us? That might be us. That you couldn't go to the grocery store, none of that stuff, anything. You couldn't do nothing, right?
Yeah.
So the beautiful thing about being a friend with somebody prior to being in a relationship and emerge is that you ain't putting no airs on when y'all be friends. She know you and you know her, you know what I'm saying? So when it came to us being in the house together, it wasn't nothing, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't nothing. Most of the time, we would be upstairs and on the fourth floor watching movies. That used to be our little movie spot. We bought a pool table, put it up there, and we would play. I taught her how to play pool. We up there playing pool. For the most part, and then you know it's just we migrated through the floors over the years, you know what I'm saying, to doing right. different things in different spaces, but yeah, it's been cool. It hasn't been hard, you know, and that's the good thing about it, because most people, hey, look, divorce rates then went up, people then chewed their hand off.
Yeah.
Let me get out of here.
Like, I gotta get out. I gotta get out.
So, take this home. Yeah, it's been good though. You back?
I think COVID-19, you compared it to us. Did you say a snowstorm?
Mm-hmm.
I compare it to a pimple. I know that's a disgusting example, but that's when you get ready to pop a pimple, everything comes to the surface.
Everything
comes to the surface, and whatever is in there is coming out. And so I think COVID-19 for families did that. And so as a clinician, you know, I'm familiar with the stats around mental health. And so depression was at its all-time high. Suicide ideation at its all-time high. Divorce rates at its all-time high. Mm-hmm. There were more alcohol sales during COVID than in decades. I mean, alcoholism is already a big problem in the United States.
Right.
You know, opioid epidemic, but when you look at an alcohol epidemic, that's what we don't call it that, but during COVID, it went even higher than it's already has been for years and years and decades. Illicit drug, all that stuff went up. Abuse, right? Like domestic violence on both ends, mm-hmm. not just male to female, but female to male, and child abuse, all that stuff went up. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of that for our house, and it's because we're rooted in Christ, from the kids to us, like the kids know scriptures. They know how to pray. They can pray a scripture for you. They can pray it. They can tell you how to get saved. And they're 8 and 9. Well, they're not 8 and 9 yet. They'll be 8 and 9 in September. But for us during the middle of COVID, I think what it did for us, because we got married in February, I think shutdown happened, COVID started to happen around March.
March, the next month. Mm-hmm.
We got a chance to really gel together, because otherwise I'm working, he works, and the kids are in school, but we got placed in the same place.
Yeah, home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, home. But we made it home, and it was, yes, it was, I wouldn't have wanted to be pinned in here with anybody else.
That's right.
I think anybody else, I probably would have pulled my hair out.
I'm sorry. I was listening to Curtis when he was talking about you knew exactly who you were with. You didn't have to put on airs. You didn't have to, this is it. You didn't send the representative.
Right, right.
Together. You sent the real Curtis, the real Masika. And so you weren't surprised or even disappointed when you were making that house a home.
And he's fun. And he jokes and laughs and stuff. But I prayed, that was my prayer a long time ago, that I would be with a man that could, like, I could laugh. Nobody wants to be, I don't want to be stiff-necked. Oh, I like to have fun. And in the COVID situation, Curtis could turn a boring TV and pool table into like this amusing situation. And it was just, it was that.
Well, she don't like when I'm in public doing it though. she said I embarrassed her because the other day we was in
look, you ready? Tell it, Curtis.
We was in Hakea and so basically, she teaches cultural responsiveness, right? So she has to check me at times though, but I don't be disrespectful, right? So
right.
It was two Filipino women that were talking on the other, I was in the middle of them and they was talking across me, right? And we and our kids, so I just said, I told her the same thing. I mean, that's what I thought. I thought the same thing. I mean, they looking at me like, oh yeah, I can't find it. I was like, yeah, I said it too. So then she looking at me like, you embarrassing me. You embarrassing. So then the dude, he got his little cop coming around the corner, speeding, right? Speeding, right? So I roll up beside him. I say, hey, excuse me, sir, license and registration, please. License and registration, please. He bust out laughing. She was like, whoa. Okay.
She got it. He got it.
Curtis is the type that'll go up to somebody if they look like Estero, and instead of just thinking about it, he'll say, you know, you remind me of Estero. You look like Estero. He'll say it. Like, no.
That's all my mother, though. No, I'm Curtis. Telling you, that is all my mother. But it don't be disrespectful. I don't.
You don't mean me, meaning me.
That is funny.
I just mess with people. But it's about for real enjoying life. And you know, you both know I say this all the time, too. You know, when life gets taken from you and you get it granted back, you realize how much you took for granted. So you enjoy every day. Of course, you have situations and scenarios that you have to deal with and you have to really be adults about, you know, mm-hmm. But for the most part, life is too short not to be happy.
Yeah.
You know? And it's important to laugh. You know, they say truthfully that when you laugh, it preserves your health and your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So how has it been also? Because not only, you know, are you both building like, you know, legacies, but you're also both like leaders in ministry. And so how has it been to have like a partner in ministry? What has that been like for you guys?
I think two things. We become a living test, like a living testimony, because Curtis and I know how to disagree. Rules of engagement is what I would call it. I think a lot of people, they struggle with communication, and that becomes one of the highest underlying issues of divorce, even before adultery and all that other stuff. It's normally starting with some lack of communication. Mm-hmm. Curtis and I, we have great communication, but that's not because we're great communicators. It's because we spend time talking to God every day. Like, we talk to God and we hear God. And when we hear God, we do what God says. Not that I get it right. I don't pretend to get it right 100% of the time. We all miss marks, right? But I intentionally, and so does he, try to hit the mark of God. So I think one of the reasons God trusts us to do ministry together is because he also knows that it's not going to become an ego thing. Like, it's not Curtis going to say, like, this is how we're going to do church. And this is not Masika going to say, no, this is how we're going to do church. It's what you want, God? Like, what is your intentions and what do you want to manifest here? And it's funny because we did Curtis preach yesterday. When he preached, powerful word. Like, and I'm not saying it because he's sitting here. I would have said that for a stranger, but it was a powerful word. But before he even began to preach, we were in praise and worship. And I heard God clear as day. And somebody else might have been thinking I was texting my phone because I was sitting there just typing on the phone. But I was hearing God and I was typing what I heard. To release to the people. And so when Curtis finished preaching, I got up and I gave the prophetic word that God had gave to me for the house. And I said, I have to say this to everybody in here. I said, this was written prior to Curtis getting up and preaching. So before he got up to preach, I wrote this because I heard God say it. And I said, but this is so in line when you hear it. It was pieces, even some of the same words that he used to preach was in the notes, from Slingshot to other stuff that was in the notes that I got from God. And so I'm listening to him preach. I'm like, that's what the Lord said. So when we do ministry together, it's not about him. It's not an ego thing. We bend to each other.
Yeah. And for me, I say it's actually answered prayer, right? And I say that because this is not a slight to anybody, past or present, whatever, but for her, right? I finally have somebody that really understands this thing, this walk, you know what I'm saying? Where I don't have to pull nobody along. I don't have to try to, you know, provoke somebody to be something that they really not ready to be. And then on top of that, when my shortcomings show up, I have a support system there to also help sharpen me at the same time. On top of that though, it's also a blessing because like when you really, like, this is how I really knew, like, this is what it's supposed to be and how God really wanted me to have something like this. God rest his soul, it's a bishop. He passed away, younger bishop, right? Passed away from a heart attack, I think, or something not too long ago, maybe last year, I think, right? But I was at another bishop's church that I had preached at, and he happened to be preaching it. And he was preaching, and when he went to the, when he got to, like, a part of his word, the Lord just moved him into the crowd, and he started praying over people. But what happened was his wife, who was his co-pastor, comes out of her seat, and now she's behind him like this, praying over him while he's praying over people. And I heard the Lord say, clear as day, this is what I want for you. This is what I want for you, right? So, and I always hope for that, right? But then when you get somebody with God to actually tell you something, right? God has shared stuff with her that he shared with me years ago. So it's like he takes her into my quiet closet with him and say, look at this, look at this, look at this. And it really just solidified, like, this is God made. Yeah. This is not something that you two tried to put together. This is not something that you thought you heard God and missed this time again. This is not none of those things. This is really exactly what it's supposed to be. And just the way even yesterday went, it was a compliment to how the Spirit of God is truly between us and connected, and we yoke together as true yoke fellas, right?
Three strand cord.
Right. So I'm excited, you know, about what is to come, because what really has floored me over and over again, when I say she's a prophet, a real prophet, like, I haven't seen words fall to the ground. Mm-hmm. She's a real prophet, right? So, but this is the thing. What solidified, like, this floors me totally, right? When God will tell me something, and he had already told me certain things, and then she come tell me and say, this is what God told me about you. Yes. And I'd be like, babe, God, I'm going to give you an example. So God told me when I was locked up that I was his David, right? And he told me, he says, that I'm making a covenant with you like that of David, that I will not alter nor break. And he's been keeping that promise and keeps confirming that. But one day she comes downstairs and she says to me, God told me that you will have a heart like David and that you're like his David, right? And it just, I was like,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, babe, God had been telling me that since then, but told her. And I don't know why he was saying it to her at the moment, because I can't remember exactly, right? But the point of the matter is, it was like, yeah, didn't I tell you? It's her and this you. Mm-hmm. Just trust it, right?
That's it, just trust
it. I thank God for it, right? Because the one thing I say is that in ministry, you need somebody who understands what it is to carry the mantle. If they don't have that understanding what it is to carry the mantle, whether on both sides, if she's supposed to be in the forefront or if I'm supposed to be in the forefront, if the other person doesn't know how to handle the mantle, they're not going to understand the other purpose.
It's a distraction. It's a distraction.
Mm-hmm. So it's been good. This is summing up in a nutshell. It's been good. It is so much more to come. It is so much more to come.
Yeah.
That's very inspiring, especially that one accord. It makes all the difference. Or how God keeps confirming himself. And it works both ways, because she heard God and then she said what she heard. And it was probably like salve on your heart, just like refreshment. That's a blessing, truly a blessing. And people need to hear more stories like that, because I don't even look at like regular stuff, because all the regular stuff leads to destruction and negativity. And it's so much good going on in the world.
Yeah.
And we just need to choose to seek it. Because he said, when you seek me, you're going to find me. But it's so much good out here. And that's what I want to focus on, the good.
You know, it's a real thing for even with the good, for there to be arguments sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. But because sometimes people think, well, because there's an argument, this thing is going south.
I'm glad she brings this stuff up, though. And I'm not to cut you off, but the reason why I'm glad she bringing this stuff up is because I think that what that happens too much sometimes, where people will paint a picture that other people think that can't happen, right? Right. That real that real stuff don't happen in life, right?
Right, right.
You know, because the truth of the matter is that, like what she's saying, and I'm gonna let her finish, is that a picture takes time to become beautiful.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? But the picture is beautiful as long as you know how to continue to work through it, right? Go ahead, babe.
I mean, if the scripture is true, and I believe every scripture is true, iron sharpens iron. If you've ever taken a knife, my father used to have, he used to have like a collection, and I was like old school, and he used to sharpen them on this stone. And this stone, you would see the friction. If you start sharpening a knife, you could see, if you do it too quick, you'll see sparks coming off of it. And I look at that like iron sharpening iron. And if we're both strong, which we are, we're both rooted in God, then when the iron sharpening iron takes place, there's sometimes when we might have a disagreement, or I don't even call it argument, a disagreement, or you can call it an argument, and I'll go to the side and I'll hear God, and God will be like, Masika, if I'm wrong, God will say, Masika, be quiet. Like, go back and apologize. And it takes humility to do so. But
absolutely,
he does the same thing. He'll hear God and be like, look, I was wrong. And we just take that time and let God, the Holy Spirit is a counselor, like let him even be the marriage counselor. And not that we had disagreements or arguments on the record, but they happen. I think
that's right. But it sharpens and strengthens the relationship.
Right. And see, that's the beautiful thing, because that was also one of my prayers too, that I be married to somebody that has a relationship with God, because I understand that sometimes, I understand that I have a propensity sometimes to want my way, you know?
Oh, really? We all do,
yeah,
but
so,
just to hear.
You know, so basically, and then especially coming out of the life I came out of, I'm used to directing people, you know what I'm saying? I'm used to telling people what to do, you know what I'm saying? And being forceful with it at times, you know? So, but those things, and I look back and I laugh, because being incarcerated for a long amount of time, I had a single cell. So my single cell was neat. I became OCD. You know, I became OCD. My books was in height order. You know, my bed, you can bounce a quarter off of. I had carpet in my room. I made the floor. I took a blanket and made carpet in the cell and all that. And when they said we had to double up, first off, I'm in a place where they tell you what to do, but I tell them, no, I'm picking my own cell, buddy, right? So I put who I wanted in there, but then I drove them people crazy too, because I make them take the shoes off at the door, all types of stuff, right? But I laugh because one of my friends, he was real close, and I knew him from the streets too, and he said, stop talking to me like I'm a little kid, right? He sat down for me one day. Stop talking to me like I'm a little kid. So then I laughed, right? I said, my bad, Joe, my bad. But I laughed because I told God, I said, God, you must be really trying to get out of me or preparing me for when I get married, right?
Yeah.
But I realized too, you know, that when I prayed for that, I said, God, well, please let me have somebody that got a relationship with you. So yes. when I'm wrong, I'm going to say that I'm wrong. When they wrong, I hope they come to me and say they're wrong too, right? And she do that. But like she said, I do it too, because God will check me. I'd be sitting there and I'd be all mouth full of rocks.
Mm-hmm. All in your feelings.
Yeah, all in my feelings, right? And God was like, nah, you said that wrong. You did this wrong. And you can't be like that. You got to go apologize.
That's my daughter.
You know, yep. And I go back and apologize and be like, babe, I'm sorry. And then we start talking more. And then we get a clear understanding of where we went off. And then we learn from that. And I've said this to her before, that I believe that I experienced, though, excuse me, is going to be to the point where later on in life that we're going to be able to help people and be a roadmap for others.
Absolutely. And just imagine what you're modeling in front of your children.
Yeah.
Reality, a real marriage, not reality TV.
They need it. That was one of my prayers, is that because, as I said, my apostle said, this is a history of the women in your life picking bad relationships. So when I decided to divorce people, and I'm helping a couple of friends right now that are going through a divorce and they have kids. And they are people that are in the church. One of them is an elder in the church. And I know what they feel like right now, because I walked them shoes. I walked in those shoes. And it's different being a mother of little kids and walking through a divorce. But one of the things that I told my friend, and I knew the ins and outs of her situation, is that one of the things that God dealt with me on was that I wasn't doing this to them. I was doing this for them. Yes. And it was because I was, kids learn two different ways. My apostle said this to me. He said, kids learn by what you say and by what you demonstrate. And it had me check, what am I demonstrating? What am I demonstrating here? Do I have it in me to demonstrate anything else? Well, I tried everything in me, but I can't control somebody else's behavior. So is this what I want them to repeat? Do I want my daughter to grow up with her thinking that it's okay for men to jump in her face? Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. Do I want my son to think that it's okay for him to ever do that to a female? No, can't. That not in this, not coming out of my household. That can't happen. Not coming from this room. You can't go through that to any woman. So what they get to see is, how do you have a disagreement and then come together and work through it? Or how do you show real love? How does a man really supposed to treat a woman? And we demonstrate that all the time.
Consistently.
And it's not a show for them. It's real. This is real life for them.
Absolutely. I am still friends with my stepchildren. I love them, and they know that I love them. And even at my husband's service, the mothers came, and I mean, they spoke, and they were just grateful, because we were a village for our family. And some people, you know, really are inspired to see that I'm friends with the baby's mothers. I'm friends. I respect them. I love them, because we all lost somebody great, you know. And it's because we were consistently demonstrating love and respect. Respect is important too, you know?
Yeah.
That's especially when we understand that we are all God's children.
Yeah.
And he loves all of us, even when we are misbehaving, you know. Yeah. But in any case, that's a wonderful thing to demonstrate what real love looks like, what a real family looks like, you know.
Absolutely. And I am in this season learning to see like the inherent value in everyone. Even people that I don't agree with, or people that I may not understand where you're coming from, but you have inherent value. You were created by the same God I was created by. You don't need to acknowledge him. You don't need to be walking with him, but we come from the same source. And so it is important. And even, you know, just all relationships. So whether that be marital, familial, people, you know, who you work with,
our children,
when you're able to see the value in others, it becomes easier to be in relationship, even if there is disagreement, even if there is, we may not see on the same side, but I value you because you're a human being and you were created with purpose and with gifts and with talent. So, you know, whether we agree on this issue or, you know, whatever is inconsequential to your value. And so you can always, you know, honor someone and respect someone, even if there is disagreement.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of the scripture, because God knows exactly who he's creating when he created.
Yeah.
He knew that Saul was going to be Paul. He knew that Simon was going to be Peter, the rock. He knew. And if anybody tried to, even when Peter tried to tell Jesus, no, that's not going to happen to you. Oh, you can never wash my feet. Or some things just have to happen. There has to be some kind of discord sometimes, even when I think about my relationship with Christ and the direction I was heading. God knew I was doing all that. He knew, and he knew one day I'd be sitting right here with y'all. Mm-hmm. Talking about the wonderful gift of life, and you know, but at in my earlier years, I wasn't thinking about God, but he was thinking about me.
Yeah,
he was thinking about my children, my mom. He was thinking about all of that, you know.
That what you just said resonates so much, because I used to call myself, and I still do. I had a prodigal child season. I got saved when I was a little kid, 7 years old. And I knew God. My grandmother made sure I knew God, and my grandmother's sister, my great aunt, would call. I would call her every night and pray with her on the phone every single night. I don't know how she did it, because she would just let me get on the phone and ask whatever questions I wanted. She was pouring into me. But in my teenage years and in my college years, I went through a prodigal season like no other. Mm-hmm. And if somebody were to look at those years and say, this is what you're going to do here in this season and in the seasons that are ahead of me, I would have laughed myself out. Like, that person right there, she gonna do this and this. You call her to be, yes, he still did. And I'm the same thing with Curtis. But that's the power of God. It's that redemptive God. It's not just a forgiving God, but he's a redemptive God. He's a restoring God. He's a God that can really do Romans 8:28 and make it work together. So all of that stuff, that even when people look back and say, well, that was a waste of my time. Well, no, now I can use it for somebody else. So.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Because at the end of the day, when you think about that God really in eternity past, imagine standing, and I posted this the other day, imagine standing in a space or place where time doesn't exist, neither the limits. And when you're in Christ, it's just like, yeah, this is where I found you at. This is where I created you right here in this moment. I knew your name before your parents knew your name. You know, I knew who you were, and I knew the call in your life. And you just think about that, and you're like, wow, God, you really like handpicked me. You know, and you think about how when you watch some of these reality shows, right? Like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, and they have these people in front of them, and then they, you know, they go through dates and all that, and then they choose who they're going to end up being with and everything, right? But it's like God stood there and seen the whole world and be like, yeah, come in. You come in, you come in, you come in. And when you think about that, you know, you just say to yourself, like, wow, this is the thing that blows me away. But he chooses us even when he knows sometimes what we're going to do that's against him. Like, before we even knew him, he knew all the mess we would go through. And he said, no, I see more than you can see right now. I already know what you're going to do. And I know how to make that work out for your good.
You know? Cyrus has to come forth.
You know, and I'm looking forward to, you know, I have preached this word on Father's Day probably about 4 or 5 years ago. It was called Pass the Baton. Mm-hmm. And the word talked about, the first point of that word was, is that your children should not be responsible for tearing down the altars that you built up.
Come on.
And I have made a conscious decision in my life, right? And I've always tried to live like this, but it's even more prevalent now. And that's this, is that I want my private life to be the same as my public life, right? Yep. So if a camera see me while nobody else can see me, guess what? You're going to see the same Curtis you will see in public, right? You know, and I'm not saying you're going to be without Earl or whatever, but at the same time, what I'm saying is that I honestly want to make sure that anything my son has to deal with is nothing that my father passed down to me that I had to deal with.
Wonderful. That's a good word.
You say Cyrus has to come forward, and then Curtis follows up and says the altar, the tear it down. And it's funny because, not how funny, but it's my mom had 2 abortions before she had my brother and I didn't know about it. And so I was in my teenage years, and I had 2 abortions when I was in my prodigal years. Mm-hmm. And the circumstances around those 2 abortions were, I drove myself to an abortion clinic by myself, got an abortion, drove myself back. And the person that I was in a 3-4 year relationship with, if you ever watched the movie The Wire, would have been at the top of the wire. And it was a kind of a threat that went with that situation too. And when I look back, I remember saying to myself, like, this, I thought if you got an abortion, you went to hell. And I'm saying this because I hopefully the number of women that get abortions, sometimes we condemn ourselves and it's commodative. But God, even back then, said, I still got you. I'm still calling you. And I'm still calling Cyrus. I'm calling Lonnie. I'm calling Jamar. And I'm calling Cyrus out of you. And he did. And so when I got, fast forward, redemption, restoration, reclamation, all of that that God did, he reclaimed me. And when he did, he allowed, when we got pregnant,
I'm pregnant too.
When we got pregnant, I remember going, because Curtis and I kept praying about, you know, I've just turned 40, so to be 40 and have a baby is different than being in your 20s, 30s, where it's easy to get pregnant. And I remember when we got pregnant, I went to the doctor's office and they found a fibroid, and they said, what the fetal maternal doctor said, like, technically, I shouldn't even have been able to get pregnant.
Come on.
And then when the pregnancy happened, it made, fast forward, it made the fibroid go away. Like, it dissipated. It just went away. And I don't know what that, when that happens, because a lot of times when people have fibroids, they can cause preterm. It just dissipated. And it was like God saying, Masika, Cyrus has to come forward. Yeah. And not only are you guys praying for a baby, heaven is sending an answer. So it's this, and it's in tearing down the altars. I have read, not appropriate conversations. They're 7 to 8, about to be 8 and 9. But as they get older, I'll have, look, let's talk about it. Let's have real conversations. Let's have real, because you don't have to learn the hard way. We already did that.
Like, yes.
We already did that.
Yeah. And I'm looking for, and I know that this little guy right here, He's gonna be a world changer, you know. The Lord told me that he's gonna take whatever legacy I build, he's gonna take that and take it even further than I ever could. So I'm looking forward to what he's gonna do. Actually, all my children, because a dream I had with about my son, not this one, but Jamar, before we got married, which really another reason, you know, kind of solidified, yeah, this is what I have for you. Is I was in the dream, and I know for a fact that he was about 12 years old. And I don't know what happened. We made us both, we were both crying. And I said, you know, you're called to change nations, right? And he said, yeah. And I said, yeah. And I'm supposed to teach you. And I realized, I said, and this still the dude, when I say this dude, he is a born negotiator.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
He has the gift of gab, trust me. So, and then, like, he's quick with his wit and his logic, right? So he'll say, can you buy me 3,000 V-Bucks? And I'd be like, no, why don't I buy you 3,000 V-Bucks? He says, because if you buy me 3,000 V-Bucks, then you won't have to be, then he had to break this whole scenario down, right? And tell you why you should do it the way
he started out.
Yeah. And I was like, man, then if you catch him another time with something, and you be like, he'd be like, can I have 2 snacks or something like that? Be like, no, you can't have 2 snacks. No, you can only get one. But I'm saying, if I get one now, then maybe later on, you won't have to worry about me coming to ask. He like start breaking stuff down to you about why you should follow his train of thought, right? And I just laugh. I say, boy, you're going to be a lawyer or a business takeover. You're going to take over.
Thinks it through.
Yeah.
That's comforting to know, too, that your children are thinking. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times some stuff is on automatic, but he didn't thought that thing out.
Yeah.
And he done did this to, like, some teachers and some principals of schools. When he was smaller, he talked them into ways. I'm like, this is, no, tell him no. Tell him no.
Once he puts his case out there, it makes sense.
Yeah, his case is real logical, but I'd be like, no.
That's amazing.
Well, I love it. We are going to wind it down. We're coming to the end of the podcast. So I'm going to ask if there are any final thoughts. We're going to go around the Zoom and see if there are any final thoughts. So Novena, I'm going to start with you.
At first, I wasn't even going to ask, but I noticed that the you know, life has shifted and changed in these past 15, 16, 17 months. And I know you have a trucking business. And I don't know if you've heard the news how industries have changed and workers and the, how is that affecting you as far as the trucking business and how deliveries are being made and how things are being purchased and just the future of your trucking business? Has it changed a lot?
Well, it actually did shift me. It shifted me from just being a broker to now trying to purchase trucks, because one of the things that it has done, it has been a boom in the industry. And one of the biggest problems though for the industry is just drivers, right? So just identifying a good driver, which I have, and now trying to purchase this truck to make sure that now when I switch over to the courier side that I can continue to go forward. The other thing is though now is that because it has been highlighted so much, the competition has increased, yes. Right? Yeah. So everybody, I mean, you have people that's literally quitting their job. And I know a guy, he was an IT guy, six figures, quit his job, taking a CDL class right now, about to buy a truck. Mm-hmm. And it's the desire, I think, of this generation too, as well, the entrepreneur spirit that's on this generation.
Yes,
very much.
That now this is, because this is a place where you don't really need a college education. Don't need experience for real. You just need to get into it, right? Yeah. So my shift was now is just going from a broker to a carrier, but it's always, it's an opportunity though of a lifetime, because if you capitalize on it in the proper time, then it can cause you to be very lucrative if you really have those connections and move forward with it. And that's where I'm at right now. She stays on me. God stays on me because sometimes I can pump fake at stuff and procrastinate. I guess that's just a part of my nature and makeup at times, you know, and I just have to deal with it and admit it and deal with it. Mm-hmm. But that's what it is. It's moving forward now and getting that truck.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. That's good. So Curtis and Masika, did you guys have any like final thoughts, anything y'all wanted to say to the people before we cast off for today?
I would leave the word of like just the word faith. Faith is a currency. So whether you're believing God for a spouse, a child, when I was told that I technically wasn't supposed to be able to get pregnant, if you're believing God for work, for business, you know, in the middle of COVID, when people were going out of business, every business that God gave me grew and multiplied in number of people I was able to hire, contractors, and in money. So I didn't go down, it went up. But faith is a currency, and all of that, most of what we do in the kingdom is we purchase stuff by faith. And so activate your faith in whatever the thing is that you're trying to get, that you want God to do for you. God's already got it done. It's you can believe God for a penny, or you can believe him for $1 billion, because both of them easy for him.
Easy for him. That's it. Faith is a currency. I like that.
Curtis, you got something?
I have to just echo that. I really echo that. Actually, me and a friend was talking. So he said something. He said, you know, if whatever you believe in God for, and you find just a great opposition of doubt or fear, he says, well, if it wasn't true and the blessing was on the other side of that, why would the enemy waste his time trying to infuse doubt in you and fear in you not to go forward? Mm-hmm. So just echoing what she said, use your faith to capitalize and not allow it to the doubt to derail you, but let it propel you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And I will end with just saying to Curtis, I told you so.
You did. You did.
I did. I told you so. You're welcome. That's an inside joke. That's an inside joke, y'all. But this has been another Bold and Beautiful When Christians Speak Talk Radio podcast. We are just grateful for the time that we have had to share with you all. We hope that something that has been said will spark something in the spirit in you. Feel free to reach out to us on Instagram and Facebook on Bold and Beautiful. So we love you, and we'll see you all next time. Have a great one. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to our broadcast. We look forward to introducing young talent and sharing exciting stories with our listeners around the world. So if you have a gift, talent, story, or information to share with us, spoken word, poetry, book, or song to share, if you're an entrepreneur or musician, please contact us at bnbwcstr2016@gmail.com or on any of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.